A journey into a world that is just beyond our comprehension. The world of the paranormal.
Welcome to the 13 Skulls Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be taking a look at a listener call-in and emails. We're also going to take a look at a Dallas UFO that was photographed on the bed of a big rig. We're also going to look at glowing bomber worms that have been discovered, a Yeti that was filmed in the Tatra Mountains in Poland, cloaking technology that may protect from natural disasters, and a strange case of a seizure that turned a woman into a man. That and much more coming up in this 30th episode of the 13 Skulls Podcast. Alright, everybody. Well, thank you for coming and listening to the show again. Sorry it's been a little while since the show's been out, but, you know, hey, life's busy. Let's go ahead and get the formalities buried in the dirt and out of the way. If you want to shoot me an email, the emails are the13skulls@gmail.com or info@the13skulls.com. If you want to shoot me your experiences, your feedback, criticisms, or whatever in email format, you can send it to those. Or if you want to give me a call, the phone numbers are 206-338-2205 or 817-986-0019. And if you really want to support the show, give me a review in iTunes or vote in Podcast Alley, or let me know where you're listening from by signing the Frapper map. Now, I know that it might sound a little bit like me begging, but you don't have to go to iTunes. You don't have to go to Podcast Alley. You don't have to go to either one of them. Yeah, it's completely up to you. But I'd love to know where you're listening from if you want to sign the Frapper map. I always find it interesting that people from all over the world are listening to the show. I'll quit my jabbering and we'll get on with the show. Well, Man, that was quite a story, Lobo. I really do appreciate you calling in and telling me your experience and sharing that with everybody. That's pretty crazy that, you know, what you saw there. I mean, I've seen something like that kind of sort of in a movie, I guess. I can't remember exactly where I saw it. Like you said, with the faces coming through, something trying to push through. I know it had to be at least somewhat terrifying to you. I mean, just for the fact that it stuck with you means it burned itself into your head. But, you know, that was really cool. I really appreciate you sending that in, Lobo. The bad part about that phone call is that I believe it got cut short. From what I know, Google Voicemail, and I just recently learned this, I believe, from if I read what I read right, Google Voicemail only has like a 3-minute limit to their voicemail, and I didn't know that. So I believe part of your phone call got cut off there, Lobo, but either way, I really do appreciate you sending that in. Just going with that, we have a lot of listener-submitted content. Pretty much every single thing that's in this show today was sent to me by someone who's listening to the show that wanted to share what they found or share their own experience. Again, thank you, Lobo. I really do appreciate it. If you guys wanted to call in like Lobo did and give me a voicemail, you know, tell me your experiences. Tell me what's happened to you. I'd love to hear your voice, hear you tell, you know, what happened to you, because then the emotion, the inflection that will be there from how you experienced it. If you give somebody like me a chance to read it, then, you know, I mean, I'll try and do it as best I can, but it's always, I think it's always so much better whenever somebody tells it themselves. So again, thank you, Lobo. I really appreciate it. This next experience that I have here is from Sean, my friend Sean from way back in the day. What's going on, man? I hope you're doing good. I really appreciate you sending this in to me. He wrote in and said, "I was sleeping in my bed when I woke due to extreme pressure on my chest. I looked around my room and it looked different. It seemed a little cloudy or foggy. The window at the foot of my bed then slowly opened. I screamed out for my father and my mother when, to my surprise, nothing came out. It seemed that the more I screamed, the more pressure seemed to intensify on my chest. As I was freaking out and tried to run for help, my body was pinned in by an invisible force. Through the window, there was these figures, appeared to be about 4 or so. Now, these guys were about 4 feet tall or so and fairly stocky of a type of build. They seemed to have a druid-style hood, but in the light that had come with them was like a dim candlelight. I could see one of their arms. It was fat and bluish, maybe a gray, you know, an ash gray color. This part is the reason I only told close friends about it. They pulled my sheet at the foot of my bed up, and I couldn't feel anything, and it seemed the pressure that kept me from screaming or moving also made me numb. And then the one to my right reached out and touched my chest, and all of a sudden I felt air in my lungs return, and when I opened my mouth to scream, they were gone. Again, this is the only dream that I can remember because I don't remember my dreams. I don't remember mine either, Sean, so I'm right there with you, man. So if you do remember one, it's pretty significant. And if I do, it's only for a few hours, and then I'll lose any detail of the dream. Now, since that night, as a kid, I noticed that streetlights would turn off when I drive past them. One I could brush off, but when it's like 4 in a row or something down the same strip of road, it got my attention. Plus my ability to take the pain. The reason that I'm writing is that I've always wanted to know if there were anyone else out there that had any similar type of visits that were, you know, things that were similar to mine. Thanks, Sean. And this happened to me in Roanoke, where I'm from, over by the Star when I lived in Southeast. Right, okay, I got you. Now, for those of you who don't know much about Roanoke, Virginia, they have a Star up on top of Mill Mountain. There's a zoo up on top of that mountain too, but it has a big, huge star that lights up that you can see at night and you can see it during the day. It's just a really big star. Just Google Roanoke, Virginia, and I'm sure you'll see it. But yeah, I remember when you lived over there, man. And to be honest with you, it kind of seems like what I've heard described as the old hag syndrome or sleep paralysis. Basically, you're laying there, you can't move, you can't scream. The only thing you can really do is move your eyes, maybe be able to move your head just a little bit. You can't scream. Seems like something's sitting on your chest. And basically, that would be sleep paralysis. Also, depends on who you talk to. I've heard people say that basically it could just be your mind still in a mix between reality and sleep. And basically you're seeing visually with your eyes something that your brain is creating. Now, it could be that is the case, but I've also, you know, it also would make sense because a lot of people have the same experience and these people have never been, they've never met, they've never talked. These people have the same experience as you did. They see these figures around their bed. Could be an alien abduction. Could be your mind playing tricks on you. I don't really know. You're going to have to make that decision up for yourself as to what you believe it was because you were the one who experienced it. If I sit there and try to tell you what I thought it was, it would be a half-hearted attempt at, you know, trying to explain something to you because I wasn't there with you. You're the one who knows how real it was to you. You're the one who knows what you experienced, how you felt, how it made you feel. And regardless of what it was, if it made you feel good or bad, either way, that experience happened to you and it's part of who you are now. And you kind of have to go through, you know, you kind of have to push through and keep going. You know, there are a lot of people out there. You were wondering if anybody had had the same experience, and there are a lot of people out there who have had the same experience. The one wonderful listener that I have for the show, Lili Mama, if you're listening, darling, hey, how's it going? Lili Mama has had a lot of experiences similar to what you're experiencing. And as far as the lights going off, I remember being with you on multiple occasions as we were walking down the road and the lights would go off when we would even, you know, when we would get closer underneath them. So I do remember that. You have a witness for that because I remember being with you on multiple occasions and streetlights going out. But then again, Sean, dude, if you're listening, man, we had a lot of crazy experiences back in the day anyway. But I really do appreciate it, Sean. Thank you very much for sending that in. If there is anybody else out there who has had an experience like that, shoot it to me in an email, call me up and leave a voicemail. You know, share your experience. I believe it not only helps you to get it off of your chest, but it also helps other people in knowing that they're not alone with what's going on. So the next email that I got, thanks again, Sean. Thanks again, Lobo. I really appreciate you guys sharing what you've been through. The next one is from Otik. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. It's O-T-I-K or Otik, Otik. Either way, thanks for sending this in because I found this to be most intriguing. The email is entitled Sabbath, and it says, "Hey there, I know you're interested in shadow people, which I am, so I thought I would pass this along. You may already know this, but it just occurred to me that Black Sabbath's first song off the self-titled debut album titled Black Sabbath is about the band's bassist, Geezer Butler, seeing a shadow person. He never calls it that, in fact he calls him Satan, but the description fits a shadow person. From Wikipedia, the first song on the album is based entirely on a tritone interval played at a slow tempo on the electric guitar. The song's lyrics concern a figure in black which bass player Geezer Butler saw after waking up from a nightmare. The lyrics are this: what is that stands before me? Figure in black which points at me. Turn around quick and start to run. Found out I'm the chosen one. Oh no. Big black shape with eyes of fire, telling people their desire. Satan's sitting there, he's smiling, watching those flames get higher and higher. Oh no, no, please God help me. Is that the end, my friend? Satan's coming around the bend. People running because they're scared. The people better go and beware. No, no, please, no." Now, that might have sounded kind of cheesy with me just reading the lyrics. I don't quite think I really have the voice to sing, so you guys are pretty much SOL on that one because you're not going to have that happen. I'm not going to embarrass myself that much. I might embarrass myself a little bit, but not too much. Now, Otik, I'm just going to pronounce it that way. If it's different, email me and let me know. Sit a couple of Wikipedia articles to go along with that, one for Geezer Butler and one for what a tritone interval is. So I'll put up those links so you guys can go take a look at those two. And I might even post the lyrics. I don't know if there's any type of copyright infringement on that or not. So if I get told to take it down, I will. But I'll go ahead and post that all up. If anybody else knows about the first song off the Black Sabbath album, about it being a shadow person, which it does kind of sound like that, a figure in black which points at me. It's very interesting. I've heard a lot of Black Sabbath in my day, and for some reason it didn't catch my eye that this song said a big black shape with eyes of fire. I never really put two and two together on that. I don't remember that, but it's great catch, Otik. I really appreciate that. It's pretty neat that something like that happened to to somebody who is that famous. Now, I'm not one to really get that deeply into bands and learn their names and their what they're into unless I really, really, really love the band. And Black Sabbath, always did like the music, had a couple of the albums, never really got that deep into them that I did a lot of background stuff on them, but still, it's really neat to know that somebody, you know, in a band that's that well known had an experience with a shadow person. It's really, really interesting. So anyway, I wanted to go ahead and move on to the next thing that that I wanted to talk about. And again, all of this stuff is basically listener submitted content. And for some reason, some of these I can't get to open up the web pages. I don't know what the problem is, but I'll see what I can do. The next one is courtesy of news.bbc.co.uk. Ponders a zombie attack. If zombies actually existed, an attack by them would lead to the collapse of civilization unless dealt with quickly and aggressively. This is the conclusion of a mathematical exercise carried out by researchers in Canada. They say only frequent counterattacks with increasing force would eradicate the fictional creatures. The scientific paper is published in a book called Infectious Diseases Modeling Research Progress. In some respects, a zombie plague resembles a lethal, rapidly spreading infection. Researchers say the exercise could help scientists model the spread of unfamiliar diseases through human populations. In their study, the researchers from the University of Ottawa and Carleton University, also in Ottawa, posed a question. If there was to be a battle between zombies and the living, who would win? Professor Robert Smith and colleagues wrote, "We model a zombie attack using biological assumptions based on popular zombie movies. We introduce a basic model for zombie infection and illustrate the outcome with numerical solutions. To give the living a fighting chance, the researchers chose classic slow-moving zombies as opponents rather than the nimble, intelligent creatures portrayed in some of the most recent films. While we were trying to be as broad as possible in modeling the zombie, especially as there are many variables, we have decided not to consider these individuals." So, according to the researchers, the key difference between the zombies and the spread of real infections is that zombies can come back to life. Professor Neil Ferguson, who's one of the UK government's chief advisors on controlling the spread of swine flu, said the study did have parallels with some infectious diseases. None of them actually cause large-scale death or disease, but certainly there are some fungal infections which are difficult to eradicate, said Professor Ferguson from the Imperial College London. There are some viral infections. Simple diseases like chickenpox have survived in very small communities. If you get it when you are very young, the virus stays with you and can reoccur as shingles, triggering a new chickenpox epidemic. Professor Smith told the BBC, "When you try to model an unfamiliar disease, you can try to find out what's happening to try to approximate it. You then refine it and go back and try again." Their analysis revealed that a strategy of capturing and curing the zombies would only put off the inevitable. In their scientific paper, the authors conclude that humanity's only hope is to hit them, the undead, hit them hard and hit them often. They added, "It's imperative that zombies are dealt with quickly or else we are in a great deal of trouble." Now, it's very interesting that science would even for a moment take seriously the possibility of a zombie attack. Now, would they really be the Romero shambling zombies that crawl, you know, out of morgues that people used to be dead and, you know, coming up out of their graves and that kind of thing? Or would it be more of the kind of maybe the shambling zombie, but from more of an infectious disease more so than some kind of, I don't know, satellite returning from Venus kind of thing, you know? But anyway, I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting that they would even ponder this whatsoever. Now, the next article is, again, listener submitted. It's courtesy of blogs.discovermagazine.com. And I love astronomy. For those of you who don't know, astronomy is one of my favorite things outside of archaeology and the paranormal, obviously. But this was really, really neat. The article is titled, "Like the Fist of an Angry God." And it's really neat. It says, "Deep in the outer realms of our solar system, we are over a billion kilometers away. And something bizarre happened at Saturn's F-ring. this is one of the latest pictures, and I'll post this up to you guys, you know, up on the website so you guys can take a look at it. It says that the Cassini spacecraft returned a picture of the one of the rings in Saturn's, I don't know how many rings they have. This one's called the F ring, so obviously they have quite a few rings, but it's almost like something has passed through it, or something is passing through it. I don't know. Maybe a whole bunch of the material that was in the ring somehow got smashed together into a kind of a big lump, but it almost kind of looks like lightning in a way. And I don't know, it was just really, really odd. Now, it doesn't really say much about like what it really is. It actually says here that it's not clear exactly what's going on. It looks like some small object on an inclined orbit has punched through the Saturn's F ring, bursting out from underneath and dragging behind it a wake of particles from the ring. The upward angle structure is definitely real, as witnessed by the shadow it's casting on the rings and the mirror material to the left. So you can actually see this. It almost looks like this big bright white light in the middle of the ring that's pointing in maybe a perpendicular angle to the ring itself, and it actually is casting a shadow on it. It's really, really odd. It does kind of look like maybe an arm with a fist and a thumb pointed up. I don't really know. It's really quite odd, but I'll post a link up so you guys can go take a look at it. If any of you out there are actually, you know, interested in astronomy, you can go take a look at that. It's quite interesting.
This is Lex, the host of the Anything Goes show, and you and I are listening to the 13 Skulls podcast. Enjoy.
Eerie Radio, opening the door to the unknown. Listener feedback.
Really looking forward to the new episodes, so keep up with your work, guys. Thanks.
Interviews.
There's so many movies, so many documentaries, even books that come out that have factual information in it, that maybe, you know, this is a gradual way of kind of educating the public as to what's going on.
Visit Eerie Radio at www.eerieradio.com.
What if the world suddenly wasn't what it seemed to be? For all the latest news from beyond the mainstream, tune into the Mysterious Universe podcast. Visit mysteriousuniverse.org for details.
Now, the next thing I wanted to take a look at is an article from UFOClearinghouse.webs.com. It's an experience that I would like to, I don't know, I'd like to see what this guy has. It says, a Texas man says he has a mythical chupacabra. A man living north of San Antonio says he has quite the animal sitting in his freezer, and it may be a mythical chupacabra. Jerry Ayer, a teacher at Blanco Taxidermy School in Blanco, Texas, told TV station KSAT that it's nothing like anything he's ever seen before. Different for sure. Interesting. He said he came across the animal because a former student of his didn't know what it was and wanted to seek his advice. I got into his cousin's barn and they thought it may be a rodent tearing things up, and they had no idea since they'd never seen it. He got out some poison and this is what they got the very next day. Ayer says he plans to preserve the animal with taxidermy. Says he also hopes that a local museum will take it for display so everyone can marvel at this strange animal. Chupacabra myth began not too long ago in the 1990s when eyewitnesses claimed they have seen it. They saw it in Puerto Rico. So basically, the mythical beast also finds its way into popular culture and television, and it does. And I saw this actually made it to the main news here in Texas, here in Fort Worth, in Dallas. It actually made it to the main news here. Basically, it looked like the coyote that someone said they had a while back that they said was chupacabra. Basically, just kind of found out it was a coyote with mange or whatever. It didn't have any fur on it, but looked about the same. But I thought it was interesting, to say the least, that that people are still finding this. There is a ton of stuff for me to go over in this show, you guys, so I'm just blasting right through it. I'll post a link up to all the stuff that's in the show today so you can go and you can take a full in-depth look at it all, because I am kind of skimming over it all, but you know, this way you can go and you can draw the conclusion for yourself. You can see all the information, because like I said, I'm not going to give it to you all. I'm just busting right through these. So the next article is courtesy of LiveScience.com. And it's beer waste makes fuel. After beer is made, the waste from breweries could help generate power, according to researchers. One problem brewers face is what to do with the thousands of tons of grain left over at the end of the brewing process. In the past, they just sold the waste to farmers who either fed it to their animals or spread it in their fields as fertilizer. However, in Europe, given reductions in cattle breeding and stricter regulations on what waste is allowed on land, neither option is easy anymore. The wet grain and waste water is put into a fermenter loaded with bacteria that break down the organic compounds to generate methane. The biogas and dried sludge from the fermenter are then burned to boil water and produce high-pressure steam, which in turn drives a turbine to generate power. Using the process, a modern-day energy-efficient brewery may regain 60% of their total energy demands. Well, I do have to say that we do drink a lot of beer in this country, so if you did take all of that out of out of the breweries and then use it to generate methane to be able to power a generator to make power, then man, basically, I think that's a really good idea. You could probably give enough electricity to power the entire country for a year just on what Americans drink in a day. So anyway, I just thought it was really interesting. Thanks to you guys for sending this stuff in to me. You really put a smile on my face sometimes to know that beer could be the green way to go. Man, it just means keep on drinking the beer, you guys. Have fun out there and cause yourself to have more free energy by drinking more beer.
Oh my God, look, it's coming back.
Now, this next article I thought was really odd. It was entitled Glowing Bomber Worms Discovered. A group of glowing worms has been found dwelling in the deep ocean, some of which release body parts as tiny bombs to ward off predators. Researchers described the bizarre Swima worms in the Science Journal. The creatures, which the scientists say could be widespread in the deep sea, indicate the extent of biodiversity yet to be discovered in the oceans. The team found them while exploring the waters just above the seabed off the west coast of the U.S. Lead author Karen Osborne from the University of California, San Diego, told BBC that she and her colleagues found the worms accidentally while exploring the deep oceans with remotely operated submersible vehicles. The species released the glowing bombs, which probably served to distract predators while the worm escapes. The team is named the first of the species Swima bombforitis. Man, that was bad. I'd need to quit pronouncing these. Because of the tiny size of the bombs, which are only like 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter, and the bright lights used by the submersibles, the team was unable to capture the bombing on film in the deep ocean. Maybe turned the bright lights off just for a moment, but I guess that's just too hard of a concept to think about. But anyway, another member of the research team, Greg Rouse, explained that a common ancestor of the species had gills that appeared to be in exactly the same places as the bombs, from which the bombs could have evolved. Interesting to me that you could use part of your body as a distraction to a predator by leaving it behind. Now, here in Texas, we have a lot of little geckos, a lot of little lizards running around, and they always seem to get into your house, and it always seems to be the itty-bitty, teeny, little, tiny ones that are maybe an inch and a half long that get inside of your house. And the funny part is that they'll leave their tail behind as they try to run away from you, and their little tail will sit there all by itself, just wiggling around, just for probably 5 minutes or so before it quits wiggling. But it was just really interesting. I thought this should be really neat that you could actually, because us as humans, you can't leave part of your body behind and regrow it right back and be fine. I mean, you can't leave part of your arm or your toe or your foot or your thumb or anything like that behind if a predator comes after you. So it's just neat to me that something could evolve. You know, it's like the starfish where you could, you know, cut it up and it'll grow right back. It's interesting to me that you can regenerate body parts. Well, the next thing I want to talk about is courtesy of YouTube.com, and it's a video that is called The Zombie Executive Officer, the ZEO. And it's how to get ahead as a zombie in the professional workplace. And it's just really interesting. I'm going to have to get you guys to go take a look at it. It basically has this dead guy. Now, if any of you ever out there have heard of the book Zen of the Zombie, well, you'll know it's from the author of that. You'll see a zombie, it's ZEO. It's a zombie's guide to getting ahead in business. Anyway, it's just really funny. It's like a promotional video. The ZEO, Zombie Executive Officer, you can learn zombie business tactics and how to get on board or how to get ahead in the boardroom. And it's really neat. It's just, you see this zombie behind a computer desk, you know, in a business suit, and then this guy comes in and starts talking about it, and then the zombie gets up and basically kills him. So you can get it. It's called ZEO, A Zombie's Guide to Getting Ahead in Business. It's just really, really funny. I'll post a link up to it so you guys can go and watch the video for yourself. Now, the next article is courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com. And I thought this to be really interesting because I found this article right around the same time that something here in America happened the same way. And it says, an Aussie's Channel 9 attempted to hypnotize viewers. The communications watchdog has found Channel 9 breached the TV code of practice in the stunt that aimed to hypnotize viewers. The Australian Communications and Media Authority, or ACMA, has found that the segment broadcasted in the program A Current Affair in September last year was designed to induce a hypnotic state in viewers. During the segment entitled Think Slim, references were made by the program's host, the reporter, and a hypnotherapist to the fact that the story would feature a demonstration of a hypnotic process designed to help with weight loss. The segment culminated with a brief hypnotherapy session that lasted for about 1 minute. The Commercial Television Industry Code of Practice, that was in 2004, stated that a licensee may not broadcast a program designed to induce a hypnotic state in viewers. The Commercial Television Industry Code of Practice in 2004 stated that a licensee may not broadcast a program designed to induce a hypnotic state in viewers. Now, I found this to be really interesting, first because they tried to hypnotize people through a TV set. Now, I have my issues with being hypnotized because I've tried it and I just can't seem to be hypnotized. I know that it's a will thing that you have to allow yourself to be hypnotized, and part of it is probably that I just won't allow it, but I don't know. I mean, I think it shows, I don't know. I hate to say that it shows that you're easily, no, you know, I don't even know what to say. I'm going to keep my opinions to myself on this one. I just know that that it was interesting because here in America, I don't know if any of you out there have ever heard of Chris Angel. Now, I know he gets on a lot of people's nerves. He actually gets on my nerves. I just find his levitation thing to be quite interesting. I still don't know how he does it, but unless it's just cords and wires and whatever. But anyway, the other day I was watching his show and he tried to hypnotize people through the TV. So obviously the code of practice in Australia is a little bit different than it is here in America. But either way, I thought it to be very interesting that he was trying to hypnotize people. And then right about the same time, I heard about this story. Now, granted, this was supposed to have happened in September of last year, but it's the same principle. It's kind of synchronicity in a way, I guess, because I was seeing something on it and then I saw something else on it. But anyway, I thought it was really interesting. If there's any listeners down there in Australia that actually saw this or heard anything about it, email me or call me or something and let me know what you think about what's going on down there about that, you know, the hypnotizing people through the TV thing. You know, I can see where that would be a problem because if you hypnotize somebody through their TV and you never got them out of it, then they'd be in that hypnosis state forever, maybe. I don't know. It's quite an interesting thing to think about. Now, we're going to go ahead and take a break here. We're going to play you guys some music and we'll be back here in just a minute.
Back on the days, age with the obscene, not me, needless. Never ask for telling, I didn't take my every move, see you never enjoy. Resist my interest, reluctance, life of pain and neglect. Me let him say, ruins never stay, not your concern. Never run for killing, no one of a pink orange man, by the lips of Baron Cole.
Life left us for land,
on my own. No, it's there.
All right, well, I hope you guys enjoyed that song. Let's get right back into it. The next thing I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com. And it's an article, it's actually a video, too, about a Yeti filmed in the Tatra Mountains in Poland. And it says, Yeti experts are heading to Poland after a local man filmed a monstrous hairy creature while on holiday in the Tatra Mountains. There have been rumors of the Polish Yeti in the area for centuries, but this is the first time one of the strange creatures have been captured on film. Piotr Kowalski, who's 27 from Warsaw, was walking on a holiday in the Tatra Mountains in Poland when he saw a mountain goat on one of the slopes. As he started filming, his attention was suddenly grabbed by the Yeti creature emerging from behind some rocks. I saw this huge ape-like creature hiding behind the rocks. When I saw it, it was like being struck by a thunderbolt. Coming from Warsaw, I never really believed the local stories of a wild mountain ape man roaming the slopes, but now I do. The film has been handed over for examination to the Nautilus Foundation, which deals with unexplained phenomenon. So basically, the video, it's a really interesting video, but it's hard to tell exactly what it is. There are several still shots that have been zoomed up close to the image, and it does look like a big hairy creature, but at the same time, it's hard to tell if it's just a man in an ape suit or if it actually is a Yeti. Now, the video, when it first starts playing, it kind of zooms in, it kind of zooms out, is a bit on the grainy side, so it's kind of hard to tell exactly what it is. But in the video, it's kind of, you know, like him, it shows like the ground and like him running to a certain spot and then him zooming back trying to find what he just saw, and he's panning around, and eventually he zooms in on this one spot and you see this kind of big boulder, and right next to it, all of a sudden, there's this big creature that just pops out. And it's kind of lumbering around like it's looking for something. Like it drops something on the ground and it's looking for it almost. It's kind of walking in between these rocks, and then all of a sudden it goes in behind this big boulder and you don't see it anymore. Now the video is only 46 seconds long, so it's kind of hard to, you know, to really get a good idea of what it is, although it does look like an ape man, like a big mountain ape man, like they said it was. But anyway, it's a very interesting video. Like I said, there's some still shots of it there. It's just hard to know. Now, I don't know if I've ever heard of Polish Yetis. I've never heard of them being in Poland, although, I mean, I guess they could be just about anywhere. I've heard them all over the United States, so it could be true. So anyway, I'll post a link up there so you guys can go watch the video and see the still frames for yourself. naturalplane.blogspot.com. And it says, German man claims aliens sprayed liquid on his patio furniture. The police were called in after Heinz Langer, who has a house at Hagenberg on the Steinhuder See in Lower Saxony, complained that his garden furniture, including a table and sun lounger, had been covered in black, yellow, and violet flecks that had fallen from the sky. Police spokesman Axel Bergman, who interviewed the house owner, said he noticed military aircraft in the area at the time, and a short while later, this liquid landed in his garden. He believed there was a connection, but the military has assured us that the liquid is not from their planes. Police confirmed that not just the garden furniture, but other areas of the garden of the property, which is alongside the largest inland lake in northwest Germany, had been covered with a mysterious acidic substance. Chief Inspector Dieter Kappmeier from the local police in Stadthagen confirmed that there were military planes in the area at the time, and we believe there was a connection with the appearance of this so far unidentified acidic substance. It also says that the Air Force had also investigated the incident and taken samples of the substance and absolutely ruled out that it could have been from any of their aircraft. They are as puzzled as anybody else, and they say that the substance clearly came from the sky, and they don't know what it could be. What they are sure of is that it did not come from any military or civilian aircraft. And now there is a picture there of what it is, and it looks like somebody just threw a bunch of little flecks of, like they said, black, yellow, and violet flecks of paint or some kind of an acidic liquid. I don't really know what it was. I just thought it was really interesting that, well, first, there's actually a picture of it, but the military doesn't know what it is, and neither do the police. Neither does this guy. It's kind of strange that if it covered everything there, I wonder if it's ruining everything. Can you get it off? Is there any way to have gotten this stuff off of there? Did anybody get hit with it on their skin? Doesn't say anything about that, you know, as far as anybody getting burned from it or whatever, but I mean, I can kind of understand it if it was like some kind of military fuel for their military craft. I mean, they have pretty high octane, crazy looking fuel sometimes. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. I thought it was really interesting that that it sprayed liquid. It makes me wonder. I mean, did the military happen to have punctured their fuel tank maybe or something? I don't really know. But anyway, this next article again is courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com, and I thought this was really interesting because I reported on it before that these people were going out and looking for the Mongolian death worm and making a documentary about it. Well, they're done. And the documentary is coming. There may not be actually any solid evidence of an acid-spitting, lightning-throwing Mongolian death worm living in the Gobi Desert, but there will definitely be a documentary about it. Journalist David Ferrier and cameraman Christy Douglas have returned from Mongolia, where they spent about 2 weeks trying to verify the worm's existence. Some Mongolians say the Algoi korkoi, or intestine worm, resembles a 1.5-meter-long creature that jumps out of the sand and kills people by spitting concentrated acid or shooting lightning from its rectum over long distances. I still can't get over that. It's just hilarious. Ferrier would not say if they discovered any evidence of the fantastical creature, as they were not revealing too much until the documentary was complete. People were welcome to assume that they didn't find anything. However, he said, as far as telling the story about the death worm, I'd say we were pretty successful in what we came back with, and we've definitely got a doco on our hands. Doco, for those of you who don't know, because I didn't know and had to look it up. But they recorded about 30 hours of footage and spoke to people who said they've seen the worm. And there's been sightings since then, since like the 50s. Ferrier is hoping to produce a 90-minute documentary by the middle of next year, which should be shown at some film festivals. Anyway, I just thought it was really neat that they went looking for this thing. They may not have found it. And I mean, this guy says that, you know, that people can assume they didn't find anything, but he says they definitely got a documentary on their hands. Yeah, you might have a documentary because you've got a lot of people to talk to about it, but did you actually find the Mongolian death worm? That's what I want to know, if they actually did find it. I can't wait to see this documentary. So hopefully I'll be able to figure out when the movie's coming out, and I'll let you guys know. Or if anybody else knows, shoot me an email, give me a voicemail, something, let me know when it's coming out, and I'll pass it on to everybody else. Next article, again, is courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com, and this article is really long. It's for all the conspiracy buffs out there who have a lot of conspiracies about the 9/11 attack that happened here in the United States a while back, and especially to deal with the one that happened at the Pentagon. According to a new report, the 9/11 Pentagon attack was a monstrous lie. A three-year independent investigation into the September 11, 2001 attack on the Pentagon has yielded new eyewitness evidence, which, according to the Southern California-based researchers who conducted the investigation, conclusively and unfortunately establishes as a historical fact that the violence which took place in Arlington that day was not the result of a surprise attack by suicide hijackers, but rather a military black operative involving a carefully planned and skillfully executed deception. They have compiled the most pertinent testimony into an 81-minute video presentation entitled National Security Alert, which has earned the respect and praise of a growing number of distinguished academics, journalists, writers, entertainers, pilots, and military personnel. The investigation involved multiple trips to the scene of the crime in Arlington, Virginia, close scrutiny of all the official and unofficial data related to the event, and most importantly, first-person interviews with dozens of eyewitnesses, many of which were conducted and filmed in the exact locations from which they witnessed the plane that allegedly struck the building. Like I said, there's a lot more to this article. Basically, like I said, they're saying that the 9/11 attack, at least the one at the Pentagon, was nothing more than a lie. Now, the video is there for you guys to go watch. It is on this page, and it is 81 minutes long. So it takes a little bit to get this video to pull up, but it's a very interesting video. I suggest you guys go take a look at it and let me know what you think. If you think that it really was a conspiracy to take down the Pentagon, I don't really understand why they would do it, what the point of it would be besides throwing fear onto people and getting them to follow what their government says we should do, even though we don't necessarily agree with it. I don't really know. Anyway, I just thought it was really interesting. It's for all of you conspiracy buffs out there. Go and watch this video and let me know what you think of it. All All right, now this next article that I wanted to take a look at, really the title of what was sent to me I thought was really interesting, and it's a seizure that turned a woman into a man. It says, it's courtesy of sciencenow.sciencemag.org, waves of abnormal electrical activity sweep through the brain that can create some strange experiences, including hallucinations and feelings of deja vu. Even stranger is the recently reported case of an epileptic woman who feels that she has become a man during some seizures. In a paper in Press at Epilepsy and Behavior, Burkhard Kasper and colleagues at the University of Erlangen in Germany report that the 37-year-old woman's momentary gender transformations include the sense that her voice is deeper and her arms have become hairier. On one occasion, she told the researchers a female friend was in the room as a seizure came on, and she had the sense that her friend became a male as well. Other than some symptoms of depression and anxiety, which responded well to treatment, the woman had no history of psychiatric illness, and she'd never experienced a transformation in the absence of the seizures. Delusional feelings of gender transformation have been previously reported in people with schizophrenia and other psychotic illnesses. I just thought it was really interesting that even though not physically, she didn't actually transform physically from a man to a woman, she felt like a man. That's just really odd to me, and it makes me wonder, is the line between men and women just a physical boundary? Men are physically different from women. Is that really the main difference? Is being born a man or a woman what causes you to be who you are? And what I mean by that is, when you're born, you're just a person. And you grow up doing things that you experience through learning what other people have done. So I guess life experience, yes, obviously turns you into who you are, but being a female will lead your brain to turn in, will lead your brain to turn a certain way, to go into a certain, for lack of better terms, frame of mind. That if we were all born genderless and we didn't have a difference between men and women and we reproduced in different ways rather than what we do now, would we all be the same mentally? And I mean that in a way of, there's a big difference mentally between men and women. If we were born genderless, would we all be mentally in the same frame of mind, for a lack of a better way to explain it? For what's going in my head is kind of hard to explain anyway when it comes to this, because it makes me wonder, is the line between being a man and a woman simply based on your physical attributes and the way society makes you into being that you're that gender? If you were a woman but you were treated like a man, would you become a tomboy? Obviously, I think so. So does that make, does being a certain gender change you mentally only due to because of the way life treats that gender? Anyway, I don't know. I'm going on and on and on and on and on here. I'll be quiet now, and we'll move on to the next article. If you have anything about that, let me know. I'd love to hear about it. This next article is courtesy of allnewsweb.com, and it's the incredible UFO landing you've probably never heard about. On January 19th of this year, Adam Maximov, there's a picture of him in the bottom part of this article, of the town of Jornoltowek in Poland. I probably butchered that, Jornoltowek. It's near the border of the Czech Republic, saw something he will never forget. Sometime after midnight, he went outside to charge his car battery when he was interrupted by a deafening noise which he likened to rockets taking off. Then he heard a buzzing sound which he compared to that of a swarm of bees. The noises were followed by silence, and then noise, and then silence again. Then a blinding light. At this point, Mr. Maximov saw a huge saucer-shaped craft, or UFO, with a triangular glowing blue beam on its underbelly, rise above the ground, sway, and eventually shoot up and off into the night sky at an impossible speed. As the UFO vanished, it lit up the area so one could see every twig in the field. Mr. Maximov's wife also witnessed the UFO take off from a window. He said that he never believed in things like UFOs, and he was truly perplexed. He was more surprised when he discovered five other villagers had seen the exact same thing as he did. Mr. Henrik, also of the same town, Jornoltowek, described the saucer as blindingly bright and as of dazzling color. "Now I am certain UFOs are real," he said, and he said that to a Polish media outlet. As a result of his encounter, Mr. Maximov took an interest in ufology, and a few months later discovered that a German press had been reported that a number of airport radars had picked up the UFO the very same night of his amazing sighting. I'm now certain none of us were imagining what we saw, concludes Mr. Maximoff. No authority has yet come forward with an explanation of the events of what happened there in January 19th of this year. Anyway, I just thought it was really, really interesting that he saw this UFO, that it was, I'm wondering what the buzzing was, what the deafening noise, like rockets taking off, and then the swarm of bees buzzing, silent the noise, then silent the noise, and silence again. It just makes me wonder. I've never heard any, that's why I wanted to put it into this show. I've seen plenty of articles, plenty of videos, plenty of instances where people say they saw a UFO and it came in, it had a blue beam, but it was all quiet. Most of the time UFO encounters are quiet, and this one had all kinds of noise to it. Now I'm wondering, were they doing something to him? Was it something he heard? Because a lot of other people said they saw it, but he's the only one saying that he heard all of this noise to go along with it, this deafening rocket sound and swarm of bees. I just don't understand why he heard all the noise and what it was that he was hearing. Anyway, I just thought it was really neat because it's a little bit different than your normal UFO sighting. Now, the next article that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of news.bbc.co.uk, and it's a spaceship that, it passes critical review. The spacecraft NASA is developing to replace the space shuttle has passed a critical milestone. The Orion capsule, which is intended to carry at least 4 astronauts into Earth orbit and beyond, has completed its preliminary design review, or PDR. The review is an essential engineering asset that certifies this concept is fit for purpose. The completion of the PDR paves the way for the U.S. Space Agency to start to build the capsule for flight, which means that the space shuttle is eventually going to go away, and it seems that they're already on that because I think they're supposed to get rid of it by the end of next year. Anyway, it says that this is the successful culmination of all the design trade studies and activities to date, said Mark Geyer, manager of the Orion Project Office at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston. The U.S. Space Agency is scheduled to retire its space shuttles next year and has begun the development of a new human space launch architecture called Constellation. The architecture calls for 2 new rockets, the Ares 1 to launch crew and a new heavy lift rocket known as Ares 5 that could put into orbit the equipment needed by Orion capsule to travel to the moon and beyond. All of the systems are under review by a top-level panel by former Lockheed Martin chairman and executive Norm Augustine. It says, under current plans, this would see the vehicle ferrying crews to the International Space Station the following year, because Orion is scheduled to enter service no later than March of 2015. It was tasked by former President George W. Bush by taking the U.S. back by 20. Whether NASA could maintain the schedule even if President Obama endorses the Constellation program is open to question. Anyway, I just thought it was really neat that they really are going to be getting rid of the space shuttle. I didn't think that they ever would. I mean, I remember the space shuttle taking off as far back as I can remember. But anyway, I just thought it was neat that they're finally getting this project underway to go back to a space capsule like they had in the 60s. Kind of makes a little bit of a chuckle inside of me to think that we're using all of this technology to go back to something we had 40 years ago.
The past never dies. It only sleeps. In a solitary station on the fringe of known space, the past is beginning to stir. And when it wakes, Crescent Station will be as the belly of the beast.
You call your father and you tell him there's something very wrong with this ship. Panic spoke up full now and it said, "Scream for your life, bitch!" So Marissa screamed. "We can't save her! Move on! Move on! We have to leave!"
Crescent, a podcast novel by Phil Rossi. For more information, please visit www.crescentstation.net.
Jerry, I think there's someone in here.
Some places are far darker than deep space.
www.crescentstation.net.
They tap into your bloodstream like tiny little vampires. They hack into your nervous system like you were a walking computer network built just for them. They flood your body with chemicals that cause fear, paranoia, and psychotic rage. It's a disease that thinks. It's a disease that talks. And if you're lucky, you die before it becomes a disease that walks. On April Fool's Day, experience the horror thriller novel, Infected, the major hardcover release from number one bestselling author, Scott Sigler, creator of the free podcast novels, Earthcore, Ancestor, and Nocturnal. Available April 1st, online and in bookstores everywhere. Free audio chapters of Infected are available at scottsigler.com and infectednovel.com. The disease kills you slowly if the cure doesn't kill you first.
Available now on Podiobooks.com.
The Grand Design of Nine.
Those words haunt the mind of Brinkvale psychiatric therapist Zach Taylor when his elderly patient, a remorseless killer, utters that phrase. Zach embarks on a quest to glean its cryptic meaning. The answers lie with the patient's psychic granddaughter. But Hen is crazier than the people Zach treats, and the mystical great blade of blood he soon pursues may be more dangerous and deadly than Zach ever imagined. J.C. Hutchins' Personal Effects, Sword of Blood, is a prequel audio novella to his supernatural thriller novel, Personal Effects, Dark Art. Learn more about both stories and become a part of the Personal Effects universe at jchutchins.net.
Now, this next article that I had to put into this show, I found to be just quite amazing, really. This is really, there's just a ton of comments for this, so it makes the article seem a lot longer than what it is, but it's courtesy of, I'm just going to say it, bldgblog.blogspot.com, and I guess it's buildingblog.blogspot.com, and it's a Stonehenge image that's actually beneath the waters of Lake Michigan. In a surprisingly underreported story from 2007, Mark Holly, a professor of underwater archaeology at Northwestern Michigan College, discovered a series of stones. Some of them were arranged in a circle, and one of them seemed to show carvings of a mastodon 40 feet beneath the surface waters of Lake Michigan. If verified, the carvings could be as much as 10,000 years old, coinciding with the post-Ice Age presence of both humans and mastodons in the upper Midwest. It almost looks like there's a little temple-like place, kind of, I don't know, there's stuff strung out all over it. It kind of looks like it's in a long line. It almost looks like glyph stones. So basically, it looks like it could be, I don't know, there's this weird triangle thing right dead center in the middle with these lines going out from the middle all the way out to the points of the triangle with these circles in the middle and all of these different stones laying around it. But if one of them is close up of this, and it looks like there's a little boat or some stones laying around it and a big pile of wood, maybe. It just looks like a big junk pile. I guess it's old cars and boats, but is what it says here, but it looks like these stones are put there for a reason, and what's up with the triangle in the middle, I don't know, but anyway, I'm going to have to get you guys to go take a look at it, because it doesn't really go into description as to what they think it really is, but it does look like these have been arranged there. I really don't know about the triangle in the middle, because each picture looks a slight bit different than the other. But anyway, I'll leave this up to you guys to draw your opinions on it. I don't know. I think it's really neat. Chances are it probably is man-made because it's flat and featureless all the way around this except for this one place with all these glyph stones, if that's what you want to call them. But anyway, let's move on. The next article is courtesy of xenophilus.wordpress.com. And again, this is all listener-submitted content here, you guys. So everything here that I'm reading about is courtesy of one of the listeners that have been listening to the show. This article really kind of just caught my eye because it was just kind of gross. It's placentas are being found in a sewage system. Someone is disposing of placentas in this sewage system, and authorities in central Illinois just want it to stop. Workers in Urbana-Champaign found a placenta Thursday in a filter that keeps large objects out of the sewage treatment plants. It was the third found this year. Officials said it never happened before. They wonder if a midwife or a veterinarian is avoiding the expense of medical waste disposal. The placenta is an organ that joins the mother and fetus and is expelled during birth. They are potentially infectious, although health officials said the risk to the public is very low. Well, it's going into the sewage system, so I mean, can't be that much of a health risk, but state regulations prohibit disposal into sewage systems. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup said he's entirely not sure whether the placentas are human or animal, and that more testing is underway. Entirely just gross, but interesting at the same time that they'd be sending these things down the sewage system. I mean, what would you be doing, just flushing them down the toilet? Because they got a picture of one there, and it looks like it's rather large, so it looks like it would have a hard time going down the toilet, but, you know, I guess some things can make it down there. Now, you guys, I hate to say we are running a little long here. I don't have a whole lot more time to go through anything else, although I do have a ton of articles left to go through. Since I'm not going to be able to go through them, I'm going to go ahead and post them all up with the show notes of this show. So the last article, and I hate to say that, but the last article that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of news.yahoo.com. In Trenton, Michigan, a church is enlisting Satan in a bid to drum up attendance at services. Metro South Church in the Detroit suburb of Trenton is posting signs saying the non-denominational Christian congregation sucks and makes me sick, and the ads are signed by Satan. The campaign even has a website explaining why Satan hates the church. Youth pastor Adam Dorban told WJBK-TV the church is trying to reach out to people and cut through the noise. Dorban says Jesus wants us to be creative and wants us to use whatever it takes to reach people. Pastor Jeremy Chasseau said the campaign is meant to be whimsical and isn't intended to upset anyone. May not be intended to upset anyone, but I'm sure that some people are going to find it to be offensive, because these days you can't have anything out there that doesn't offend someone. Everything offends somebody these days. You have too many people on this planet that you just, the odds of doing something that doesn't offend someone is very low. You can't do anything these days without somebody saying they don't like it. And then you have to do something else, because legally they can own your house if you make them mad. I don't get people and how PC they are these days, but anyway, we'll move on. I guess, you know, basically it just comes down to it that I think it's funny that you would basically get people to go to church because they see that Satan doesn't like it. I can kind of understand it these days. Yet you do have to be creative to get people to see what you're doing, but anyway, let's go ahead and close the show out, you guys. I really hate to, but let's take a little break here and we'll play a little bit more music for you. I'll be right back. Well, I really do appreciate all of you guys coming out, take a listen to the show. I appreciate your patience with how long it's taken me to get the next show out. But if you like the music that's in the show, it's courtesy of the IOTA PromoNet at iotaalliance.com. I'll post up links in the show notes for this episode so you can go and you can download the music if you like them that much. And if you really, really like them, there'll be links there so you can go and you can buy them or buy the entire album if you like it that much. You'll find all that at the13skulls.com. And again, just a quick little thing, sign the Frapper map. I would love to know where you guys are. There are several hundred people on there right now, going on 500. So I guess it's not quite several, but anyway, it's getting up there, and I really do appreciate it because I love to know where you guys are listening from. If you like the music that's in the show, again, it's courtesy of Iota Line. I'll post links up to them. If you want to shoot me an email, tell me your experiences, your feedback, your criticisms, whatever, you can email me at the13skulls@gmail.com or info@the13skulls.com. You can give me a phone call. Leave me a voicemail, tell me your experiences, or tell me how much you hate the show. You can do it at either 206-338-2205 or 817-986-0019. Now, again, there was a lot of stuff that I didn't get a chance to cover in the show today, so I will post them up along with all the stuff that I did get a chance to talk about, so you guys can go and have a little bit of extra content for you for this episode. Again, I really appreciate everybody sending in their experiences, sending in the just plethora of stuff to talk about. The content that you guys are sending me is phenomenal. I absolutely love it. But, you know, keep sending it to me. I can use everything I can to get the show, you know, more content. So, anyway, I really do appreciate it. You guys have a great night, day, week, weekend, whatever it is that you're listening to the show. And as always, I will talk to you guys again on another day.